Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Severance Season 1, Episode 2, Half Loop.
Half Loop! Yep, it's Half Loop. For those of you who were paying attention to the last episode, and I'm not talking about our episode, I'm talking about the episode of the show, Half Loop is the road on which the address that Petey put on the back of the card for Mark to go to if he wants to know what's really going on at Lumen. So that's the name of this episode. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, certainly. There will be spoilers for this show, because we're only on episode 2. If you've not watched any Severance, you have some time to get caught up. And it is an easy show to watch. It's an easy show to binge, so highly recommend it. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
Well, I'm going to come clean. It's beer, but it's in a champagne glass.
She's having not the champagne of beers. It is not Michelob. But she's having...
No, it's Coors. It's Coors Light.
Coors Light, but there you go. Thought she could pass it off as champagne, but no, that's a complete failure. I'm actually having something called Rainbow Cuvée, also by Iron Horse. You have probably seen a trend with us and Iron Horse Bubbly. We love them. This one is for Pride Month. It has a tangential meaning to the show that we only know, which would be a spoiler. So I don't know if you want to talk about it or not.
There are two characters that meet, and they're, well, I don't think it's that much of a spoiler to say that there's a queer storyline.
We're
not going to tell you who. I mean, like, I just mentioned that two characters meet. I never said when. But yeah, I mean, since it's Pride Month when we're recording this, I think it's only fair and right that we celebrate.
Whatever.
In the only way that straight people, I guess, can.
I that is definitely
through wine.
I do not want to get into at all, period.
It was a joke, but.
Yay. But bottom line is that's what I'm drinking. It is a good wine.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, only had enough for one glass. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I will say that we had some of their Stargazer Cuvée, over the weekend, and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm now spoiled for like some of the other ones that are good. I mean, they're really, really good. It's just, oh, wow. Okay. Some of these others are amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So, let's get started.
So we see Milchick making Helly's Audi video, the video that she made for her innie to be like, gave my consent.
Yeah, the consent me.
Milchick idolizes Lumen very, very clearly. They're walking in the Audi part of the building, and there's a big lobby with his Lumen's face carved out of stone in the side of a wall. And he's just like, I love watching the sun rise over his face. It's like, okay, that's a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Lenin or Stalin.
It's very communist.
Yeah, communist footed. It's very disturbing. And through the course of this episode, there's a lot more of the corporation as religion stuff that creeps in, and
they're,
you start
like,
to wonder
of Lumen and shit.
Yeah, well, and you just, some of the things they make them say, like, you know, I'm sorry for, I have to atone myself for, you know, going against the corporation kind of thing. It's a very disturbing theme, and it makes you kind of even more uncomfortable in this dystopian universe. So yeah, Helly does that, and then we see her actually go through the procedure with getting the implant done.
It's about as graphic as an Outlander procedure, really. Maybe a little bit more so.
You think it's more graphic?
I mean, you see them drill into her skull.
Well, right now, you don't. You see a little bit of it. You see, there's not a lot of blood, I'm going to say that. There's a lot of stuff with an X-ray, and you're watching it.
You see them cut her scalp open,
and then you
pull
see
it back,
and then
drill into her skull.
You don't see the drill going in. You see,
yes, you do.
You do it from the side. You don't see like from the top with blood spatter. Which
no, we don't see any blood spatter. We only see grains of skull.
But Which is also bizarre.
Anyway, so we can argue about that until we're blue. It is disturbing.
There is a lack of blood, upsetting. I will say.
It is not necessarily gory accurate. So whatever.
But it's a TV show, so why would it be?
True. But she is actually conscious for most of it until the implant's actually in, and then they knock her out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're trying. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of keeping her conscious for that long is, but that's what they do.
I really don't either.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But
I'm sure it's medically necessary, according to Lumen.
Whatever. We see, and also Miltic takes a picture as they have her brain open and shit. Like, they're sorry, not her brain, her scalp open, and they're drilling in, and he takes a picture of her in that moment. I'm just like, why that moment? Yeah. We find out, we kind of find out later why, we'll talk about that at a mm-hmm. later time.
But you do get the sense that they are excited that she has chosen to go through this procedure.
And it matters so much that she's doing it.
Right. I mean, it's clear that the way they treat her outie is different from the way you see the treatment of other outies. Let's put it that way.
That, and also it was what I think is smart about the way that they set this up is that we don't really see a lot, any, like, we only see Helly's journey into becoming severed. Well, I say journey, like her becoming severed and
day of.
Yeah, her beginnings of that. Whereas
but not why.
Well, obviously, but we also, what's good about that is that we don't necessarily know that they are treating her any different, any different than they would treat any other any.
Correct.
And so we are under the impression, okay, well, Miltic's really weird, but like, you know, or weird about Helly and like using Corpus, all this language about like, we are so happy you're here and you're really making an impact and whatever. We don't know if he hadn't said that to anybody else. So right.
We do see like there is so much corporate lingo, and that is so used in this episode that you get the feeling that it's very hard to tell what any genuine emotion or thought is.
Mm-hmm. So then we see, remember in the last episode when Helly was freaking the fuck out and wanting to leave, and so she kept running out into the staircase, but her innie kept coming in, or sorry, her outie kept coming back in. Well, Miltic was on the other side of that door, kind of coaxing her into it, not necessarily because he had to coax her, but because he was like, oh, just remain calm, everything's fine, yes, your innie is learning to accept things, and so this is why this is happening, so just keep walking in, maybe with a little bit more force and whatever, maybe that will do it,
right? But she keeps saying, it's like, I really don't want to be in there. He's like, oh no, you do, you know you do, just go on back in, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like
Then we see innie Mark fulfill his senior position duties, and he has a list, and it has typical like opening stuff for like if you've ever
information crap.
No, not even that, but like also typical stuff that you would see in like a sales job where it's like you're opening or closing, like you vacuum, you refresh things, mm-hmm. you wipe down stuff. But then there are also these affirmations of, think to yourself, can I lead today? Do you think I would do a good job today? Think that to yourself and then answer it and reaffirm that you can do it. But it's written in such a way that it's just, oh my God, it's so
weird.
It's like
kindergarten level. I would point out that this sequence going into Mark is what we actually watched the credits. So it looks like an extension of the credits, which are all these dystopian, like Escher-esque images. They've got some, like, if you've ever watched Brazil, it's
Brazil.
That very Brazil visual approach.
That Lumen lobby is very Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. All of it is very, you know, like your mind is
dystopian,
yes,
gray, and just weird.
Yeah, for sure.
Then he's dusting off the group photos of the office before Helly came, which included Petey, and so he hides those, and it becomes a whole thing with Irv and being like, Irv is very, very by the book.
Yeah. And
we're not completely sure why yet, but there are hints at it here.
What's funny is that we have a whole range of people on like a spectrum of how much they care about Lumen or care about their jobs. Mm-hmm. Like we've got Helly, who's just constantly rebelling, does not give a shit, does not want to be here. Then we've got Dylan, who's here, but not really happy about it. He's just kind of going through the motions. Then I think we have Mark, who's like kind of a halfway point of just like, yeah, I'll be here because I'm kind of forced to be here. I've tried other ways because like Petey mentioned that they put in stuff for resignation and got denied, or complaints got denied. And so he's a little bit more rebellious than Irv is, but he is still in the corporate chain of like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to do what they tell me to do.
Right. And again, some of this gets reinforced through the episode, but during this period of time when Mark, he hides the picture, he gets Helly set up at her workstation. While that's happening, what's his name? The other guy.
Dylan.
Dylan is explaining what they do to her, and she's staring at the screen of numbers, which we've seen a couple of times, but not really focused on before. And he's like, yeah, you just group the numbers and... You know, and I get all these awards. You know, I have the finger traps.
It's literally stuff. It's corporate meets arcade.
Yeah.
Because arcades, if you get very few tickets, you get an eraser. You get a handful of Tootsie Rolls. You get some of those fruit Tootsie Rolls.
You can get a waffle party.
At best, you get a waffle party for completing stuff in a quarter, completing goals for a quarter. And holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit. These are adults, you know.
Another one of the prizes is a caricature mm-hmm. of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, essentially what they do, it's all in code. All of the numbers are a code. It's encrypted when they get it, so they don't know what they're actually handling. Storing.
Yeah.
But they are supposed to sort into like one of five or four or five bins. And the way that you figure out what needs to go in a bin is you feel it. You have this weird emotional reaction to it. And they can't really describe it. You just have to kind of be there in the moment and feel it. Mm-hmm. And then you know what to put it in. But sometimes it can take so long that, like, the file just goes away.
Right. The file disappears.
Apparently, it's like a 1 in 5 chance that you even complete a file. And so... Yeah.
So one of the other things that gets mentioned here is that their job is called refining or refinement, even though they have no idea what they're actually refining.
Macro data.
Macro data. There you go. So Mark is trying to explain to her the job. Milchick shows up to have her melon party. What do they call
it? It's her welcome party.
It's her welcome party. It is... Again,
it's an ice-breaking party.
It's horrible.
It's awful. But also, Helly asks if there's an option to quit. And mm-hmm. they're like, yes, you can put in for a resignation, but your outie has to accept it. And most of the time, they are rejected. So, tough luck.
Well, and what she says is like, well, then can't I just write her a note? Because I want to write her a note.
I have some shit to say to her.
Yeah.
But they have an awkward welcome party to introduce the team to Helly. It's weird ice-breaking bullshit.
Like that passing we all the ball around. And actually, Irv thinks there's going to be a trust fall. It's like, It's so bad.
Then Mark, we get to Mark. Basically, what everyone else has done is like, this is my name. Here's a fun fact about myself. And it's usually not even a fun fact because they don't know anything about themselves. They only know stuff about work. So they only mention stuff about work.
And Milchick actually does it for Helly because Helly says, I don't know anything. He does it for Helly.
You have medium length hair
or shoulder length hair or something along those lines. And they're all like, yay. But then it goes to Mark, and it's almost like Mark's getting set up to make a confession. And so he confesses that he got anxious about the group photo and he hid it. And Milchick's like,
You felt feelings. How dare you?
Yes. Bad. You should actually feel gratitude for being here. What's wrong with you?
Then they have a melon party.
Oh my God, the most boring melons.
I'm sorry to cantaloupe and honeydew.
Ugh.
Watermelon's better than that
It
shit.
is, but I'm still like, watermelon's good in a drink. Watermelon is not good on its
Oh,
own.
damn it. We should have kept the watermelon for
Yeah,
this.
I wasn't even thinking.
It's fine. I forgot
The
about
good
this.
melon.
Anyway, essentially what Mark tells Hallie is, hey, stay on Milchick's good side because it can get worse.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. He is nice. He's a nice man, but like he can't, he will do what they tell him to do. And if they tell him to get mean, he'll get mean. So Helly tries to quit, but she gets trapped in the elevator and taken out of it by a security guy. Mark is very afraid of this security guy. And so he takes the fall for Helly and be like, oh, I didn't tell her the protocol with all the coding stuff. Like, apparently she had something on her that
It was a note saying
it
if he
was a
wants to
no.
quit or
So
something.
if there's, if you bring anything other than what you had on, I guess, coming back, then you immediately get flagged and you are taken away
Right.
until they
So
find it.
basically, the elevator has this like scanner that looks for what they call code. So anything that is writing, like writing yourself a note or whatever, it will get flagged like TSA and you'll have to undergo things.
Yeah, so Mark takes the fall and he has to go and be punished. And he goes to the break room. We don't necessarily know what happens in the break room. We just know Miss Cobell is there, but otherwise, we don't.
I never remember her name. I keep calling her supervisor lady.
Cobell, yeah.
Yeah. Because she has a
So,
different name as an outie, and I can't remember both of them because I
Sylvan?
don't care. Whatever. I don't care. I get to say I don't care this time, Natalie. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Audi Mark is on a date, which gets weird when he brings they bring up the severance thing. Of course, they are there are some people protesting outside, protesting severance, and Mark gets and starts an argument with them, and it's a whole thing. And obviously, that doesn't really set the tone well for their date. So that's obviously not going anywhere. Sylvig, Miss Sylvig. His next door neighbor and also Miss Cobell, but he doesn't know
Supervisor
that.
lady. Who's
She comes,
here? Supervisor lady.
she invites herself over to Mark's house and is very intrusive about his personal life, much like she was in the last episode where she called him when he was at the diner and was just like, where are you? What are you doing? It's just like, okay, calm the fuck down. He is his own
Like
person.
super weird, like, oh, my husband before he died, like, was gonna have this area like in our heavenly home for my next husband. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. It's like,
So fucking weird.
no, creepy.
So weird. Mark then is feeling feelings because the word husband came up. And so, of course, he goes and looks through his
He was actually
I was an
looking for a light
ex-wife.
bulb. He was looking for a light bulb
Oh,
in the
right,
hall
to fix the
to fix the light bulb in the hallway that was pointed out by supervisor lady. And while he's down there, he sees a box of his deceased wife's
her
crafts,
name was Gemma.
and it sends him spiraling.
Yeah. Mark calls out of work so he can go investigate the Pete thing because now he's like, okay, well, I kind of want to figure out this whole severance thing. Irv and Dylan speculate about Mark's absence, and as does everybody else. Everyone's all concerned about, oh, why did Mark not come in? And their upper management is concerned that it was because the security guard was too rough with him or like something.
Something, yeah.
And so. But again, we don't know what happened in the break room, so who's to say? And you, they're now uncertain, I guess, about like if he remembers that or if there, I guess, if there are any lasting effects on the body.
Right, like if he saw something on his body, like, oh, it's that mark from, you know, that kind of thing.
And it's not explained by like a random note and a gift card to a diner. I guess he would want to stay home, but that's not what happened. He obviously had this other mission he's going on.
To Half Loop Road.
We also see Irv, who it's briefly mentioned. He like is all such a stickler about the rules, and then Dylan mentions, "Oh, remember that one time that you fell asleep and you got in trouble for it?" And clearly, that sets Irv off a little bit.
Yeah,
he's a little bit disturbed by it. It's not a happy memory,
and that comes up later. So
no, it comes up now when he falls asleep and can see this black
ooze. Yeah, there's ooze that's coming through, and he yells about it. And then Milchick shows up. It's like, "Oh, well, we don't want to send you to the break room. We're going to send you to." For a wellness check.
Mm-hmm.
That will be discussed later. So in the meantime, we get to see Mark at Half Loop Road. And Mark gets to Half Loop Road, and there's a bunch of dilapidated buildings. I mean, he's kind of seen this as a little intercut, whatever. But when he actually goes inside, it looks like a broken down greenhouse or factory or something. And in there is Petey.
It's where he's been living.
It's where he's been living because he says he can't go home. He says that his mind has been integrated. He's been out for 2 weeks. It seems like it was a very, he says he has, integration sickness. He's the only person that's ever had it because he's the only person that's ever reintegrated, I guess.
What it seems to be is like extreme migraine and pain, almost like kind of, I'm sure kind of feels like an aneurysm.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so he's definitely going through it, but he also
stroke.
Is trying really hard to put things together for Mark. So he has actually drawn the entire severance floor, tried to help Mark. And he said, like, I've left a copy of this on the severance floor for you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say where in the moment. But he's clearly like, you know, also not feeling well because he's in this freezing, dilapidated greenhouse. And that's pretty much all we see at that point in time.
Yeah.
We then go back to Irving.
Yeah, Irv is at the wellness center and he's admiring a painting, and Christopher Walken walks in.
Christopher Walken.
His name we later find out is Bert. He walks in and is just like, oh,
let's talk about art.
He's from Optics and Design. He was the one who put the art there. And
it has religious overtones, so it's kind
essentially
of
like a remake of a classic kind of painting, but with lumen in it.
Right. So it's like, you know, some saint, you know, sending demons away or something along those lines.
With a whip.
But with the lumen guy that we've already seen the carving of
mm-hmm.
in the entryway to the building.
Rather disturbing.
It is quite disturbing.
And we
and
also
quite like communist.
Yeah. But they hit it off right away and it's really cute.
And they talk art. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, really quickly, we already mentioned this, but what we find out from Helly and Dylan's conversation here is that they don't know what the numbers represent. Everyone has their own theories, but like Dylan likes to think that they're cleaning the ocean. Irv thinks that they're just taking cuss words out of movies, and fuck knows what Mark thinks.
Anyway, Helly's kind of like. It seems really strange that we don't have any idea what we're supposed to be doing. Anyway, so Irv gets called into wellness by this incredibly beautiful woman.
Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous.
Yes.
What's her name?
I don't remember.
Let me find her name.
Not her name in the show because we are going to find that out later, but her name in this.
We're going to find out now. Give me a second.
No.
No.
Okay. So she calls him in, and it's like this spa room. So there's a tree, there's a scent generator, there is you know, like the spa music and bird song and all this other stuff. And she's going to read to him about
Miss Casey.
Yes, she's going to read to him about his outie, and I'm going to tell you, some facts about your outie. And you know, this is to give you peace of mind and wellness and joy. And when he starts reacting to the words, and the words I wrote many of them down because they are hilarious.
So but when he's so vague,
yeah, like it's kind
your
of like
innie is generous.
Well, no, your outie is
sorry, so, your outie is generous.
Yeah. So let's see. Here we go. Your outie is a friend to the insane.
A friend to the children, elderly, and insane.
Yeah.
Please
try to enjoy each fact equally. In other words, when he reacts to something, it's like, no, you've got to react equally. You lose 10 points for having a reaction at all. You lose 10 points for speaking. It's like,
You have 100 points, and it just whittles. It will end whenever you.
This is one of my favorites. Your Audi has no fear of knaves.
A burglaries are knave.
Strong. It's like you can tell that whatever weird semi-religious cult that is this corporation has come up with these things as positive attributes. Like there's a list somewhere. And it's almost like they did some sort of randomizer to like, hey, tell him these things about his Audi now. You know what I mean? There's a very
insincere. And half of them can be lies.
Well, it's a very insincere, like it's your zodiac kind of thing. You know, like oh, you know, you're strong-willed and cool.
You're independent. Yeah. You are a friend to the insane. Independent.
It's really, it's just incredibly sad. But anyway, like
both be independent together.
Well, and if he doesn't get through, like if he doesn't stop reacting, then she's gonna just like curtail the entire thing. Like him enjoying his, you know, attributes is somehow negative. It's like, wow, this is such a weird hellscape.
It's bizarre.
It's bad. So we see him return. So Helly,
he's doing fine now.
Yeah. So Helly, but Helly finally starts.
Before that, before she starts saying things, there is a vending machine that has the most basic shit in it, including raisins,
shriveled.
What the fuck,
ginseng,
man?
Ginseng cubed.
So insane.
It's really funny, and that is very generic. It has that look of like something you would get at some like weird corporate spa.
Oh my god, it's all like non-branded too.
Yeah, but well, everything is lumened, so you get two tokens for the vending machine that you can use per day. You can't use any more.
It's so bizarre.
I mean, you know, like if you shared it with someone else, you'd get called into the break room, like. you have to wonder what break means, but when they say break room,
you do have to wonder.
You do, because I will say this: when they take Mark to the break room early in the episode, they open the door and it's really dark. There's a very dark, narrow, like rough concrete corridor that leads to another door, and that's where Supervisor Lady is, and she calls Mark in. We don't know what happened in there with Mark, but that's clearly something not good happened in the break room, or happens regularly in the break room. So because that's why they call it break room. Helly starts to see the scary numbers, and both Irv and Dylan are like, "Woo, yay! You're seeing scary numbers!" And she sorts them and sorts them correctly, and they're excited. Go Helly.
Meanwhile, Mark lets Petey stay with him because he's like, "Well, I think it's what my innie would want," and poor Petey is having another bout of
migraine
reintegration sickness. You know what? Whenever you have a migraine, you can just think of it as reintegration sickness.
That could be true. That could be true. I'm retired now. If I have one now, it's got to be reintegration sickness.
It must. But he has one in the shower, and he's like seeing his any and his him and it's just oh
his
it's so,
Audi at the same
it's
time.
A visual, but
he's also having this massive like bloody nose, yeah, and physical bad, like vomiting type symptoms. It looks like a migraine but worse.
It's like hell.
It's bad. It's really, really bad. And the end of the episode is basically him cowering in the shower and Mark calling out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
What's up?
What were your best parts of this episode?
Cool intro. I like the intro. I especially, again, I love the music in this.
Yeah.
So I really like the intro music. Awkward office party. Hysterical. That is, I love how they capture
at every office party.
Literally every ice-breaking session with any group, even if it's like people, mostly people you know or like whatever, and it shouldn't be weird, it's weird. Like whenever you try to force, oh, this is my name and this is whatever, I understand why we do it. But it is so awkward every time. And Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
He's just doing his thing, you know?
Yeah.
And Love that for him.
Yeah.
He does do something kind of different in the show, but like he, not necessarily as his character, but like his character is taken on a journey that you wouldn't expect. But it's just, I love that he's here. It's so funny. It kind of takes me out of it, but I love it.
Yeah. So my best parts are also potentially worst parts because they are reflective of the creepy corporateness, but I think it's so well done, you have to kind of respect it. And
Yeah.
so that becomes kind of a best part. So Irving, I think is the best part. Milchick, again, super fucking creepy, but you know, his devotion is
Oh,
well done. It is well
I'll
done.
also add Miss Casey because she adds to the creepy
Oh
ambiance so well. Like,
I didn't put her down, but yes. So, and I would add to that also super readily. Christopher
totally.
Walken, because Christopher Walken exists. He's definitely a best part. Petey and Mark, I think, you know, their relationship I see as a positive. And the fact that he's, you know, causing Mark to think. And I think that's important, especially, and to question
But
things. So,
also him helping Petey, I think is
yes,
very
and
sweet.
right, and it's a humanizing thing because we see some humanization of Mark in his outie, and it creeps in some with his innie. But I think it is, you know, there's this incredible sadness about it in both contexts, and I think that we get to see that a little bit here. So those were everything I wrote down. What were your worst parts?
Audi Mark arguing with people. It's like, okay, just calm down, man. I know you're an alcoholic. And what I also loved the touch that I saw in Adam Scott's performance, which first of all, again, if it's not directly stated in a best part, everyone's performances are best part.
They're really good.
If we highlight one, it's because they're either new or they did especially
Or
well.
they're Christopher
Or
Walken.
they're Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And we love him. But there's a moment when he's in the car and he's like fishing out the letter or
The
something
card.
that has the niece card with the address on it, and his hands are just constantly shaking. It's a very
Alcoholic DTs kind of thing.
Blazing Saddles moment of
Oh,
I shoot with this hand, but it's both hands.
right. So what? And I didn't note this for Mark, but you know that whole situation where he confronts the protesters. I think I've definitely felt that way about various protesters if they're protesting, you know, something that I'm actually a part of. I mean, yes. You question it, but you have also kind of doubled down on the commitment that you made. And so, like, he's really, but because he's struggling with it and the alcohol is in his system, it comes out of him in this kind of loud way. And I appreciate that being part of his performance. I also appreciate, like, when he's in the car the next day and making that decision of, am I going to work or not? It is partly that, like, should I be questioning that I went through severance? Should I find out more? You know, PD gave me this thing, whatever the fuck PD is. So maybe I should question it more. And he does. And I think that that ability to question, you know, what you're doing and reassess is a really amazing thing about Mark. It makes him such a good character.
Oh my God, yeah. Two more things on my worst parts. Poor Petey, I feel really, really bad for him. You know what it reminded me of? The whole reintegration sickness was the prison fever or prison sickness from Outlander. I was
This is
just like,
better than
oh, he died of prison sickness. What
that.
the fuck does that mean? I understand,
Yes.
obviously, in Petey's case, like it's not like anyone's reintegrated before, so it is just reintegration sickness.
No
Like
one has a definition
yeah,
for
that's
it.
all you can say about it. But in fucking Outlander, they had no excuse me. It was the naming convention that got me.
That is true.
And also Silvig, leave Mark alone. Let
Oh,
Mark live his really shit life
he is
and
a
just leave him
great big
alone.
negative for me. It's like
Leave
that.
him alone.
And again,
Come
you know, Patricia
out.
Arquette does creepy really well,
Oh,
but
he does creepy so well.
this in this series, she's like beyond the norm of creepy, and I find her extra creepy, and her character is awful. Is that everything?
That's all I wrote down.
Yeah. So I have her obviously. The corporate hellscape is just. Yeah, it makes your skin crawl. And gaslighting people. It's like there's so much gaslighting going on. Like, you even the date that Mark is on, it's like his sister keeps setting him up with people. And this time it's like the doula that's
It's
gonna
been
deliver
a
her
year.
baby.
Leave your fucking brother alone.
But here's the other thing. What the woman says, she's clearly lying. So what she says is, oh, does this temperature feel normal to you? And Mark has misremembered where she said she was from. She said she was from Montana. And then she's like, oh, yeah, it's cold in Minnesota, but I only visited that once. No, you know, it's not cold in Montana. That's a fucking lie. But she's able to get away with it because Mark's drunk and he doesn't, you know, like, doesn't seem to know his geography terribly well or remember his geography terribly well. But it's clear that there is something else going on with her and she's lying. So, you know, again, the whole gaslighting thing that seems to be going on between every single person on this show makes you doubt everything. Mm-hmm. And of course you should, I mean, but you don't want to go through like completely paranoid and let's hope that we're all not living in the Lumen world.
No, really.
What grade did you give this episode?
B.
Yeah, I gave it a B also.
It's fine. I feel like we're not really uncovering much. We're just kind of like diving deeper into the Lumen rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, there are going to be plenty of, and I'm telling you, plenty of episodes that do just that. But yes. I mean, we are
and
getting
some
the ball,
are going to be better than others.
Yes. But we're getting the ball rolling on some plot developments like Mark and Petey and all that shit. And we're getting introduced to new characters. So, I mean, you are getting some progression, at least. So,
yeah, it counts. So
it counts.
There is a lot more Severance to come. There is a lot more dystopia for you and our listeners. We are hoping to make it, you know, maybe that's what we're doing. We're gaslighting people by like saying that your beer is champagne. There we go.
I told them straight up that it wasn't.
Yeah,
but you know,
you could have.
I could have gaslit you, but I am not Miss Cobell.
No, but we are going to have other things that we are going to pair with the show Severance. We have ideas. I definitely have ideas. We are looking forward to sharing them with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.